Okay, so welcome to Dilemmas with Jess Ellis, the mental health special part two. I felt like there should be some sort of fanfare there.
I love your intro. It's always okay. So
it always starts with
I love it.
It always starts with so.
Yeah, it does.
I love that.
But I noticed that in my head, but now I'm like, you know, like I'm like I can't break it.
No, the other one.
It's like a tick, isn't it? So
yeah, the other one that I always say today is I'm like, hi.
Who's that?
You.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Hi. Going,
hi. Yeah, that's it.
Well, so hi, welcome to.
Do you know what? Now, if you don't put that in there, I'm gonna voice a complaint. Your review's gonna be a one star. She didn't say so or hi.
I'm trying to think of a different word for so.
So
we had some great comments and great responses to the last episode. It was obviously a different format. It was longer. We didn't discuss anybody else's problems. We just all talked about our experiences and different world experiences and social media and stuff like that. And it has been listened to by thousands of people. Whoop whoop.
Great.
Which is so good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
So we need to welcome back Ed.
Hiya.
Hello, Ed. Thank you for coming down again.
No worries.
All the way from sunny Essex.
Oh, yeah.
And you are, if people haven't listened to the first part, you are the founder of It's Okay campaign.
Yeah, that's correct.
You've got your It's Okay t-shirt. And you've brought us t-shirts. I love a free gift.
Who doesn't?
I'm an ex-soap star and I love free stuff. And we've also got Luke Jurdy, who's just put the last bit of salad in his mouth.
Hello!
Yes! I didn't even have to say that because you wouldn't have known you had anything in your mouth.
No.
Very, very, very clear diction.
Thank you.
All that drama school training was worth it.
Three years.
So yeah, thank you guys again for coming back. And also, thank you for last time. I didn't know how this was going to go down. And people really responded really well to it. You know, we've had thousands of people listen to it, which sounds crazy. Like, not even just like 10 or 100. Thousands of people. And so, to start it off, I thought that I would just read out some positive comments just to get us started.
Yeah,
so
great.
We had Lindsay Morris. What amazing podcast, guys. Super, super brave. Keep up the good work, guys. Love the podcast. So thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay.
We had Sandra Jack. Fantastic. And can't wait for part two. Well, here it is. Really wish more people spoke about their feelings more. I am a MH&W champion and also happy to help.
MH&W. Oh, yeah. Mental health warrior, is
and
that?
Wellness.
Oh,
wellness.
Mental health and wellness.
Yeah.
Mental health warrior. Mental health and wellness.
Yeah,
you are a warrior for just talking out.
I'm saying warrior because Game of Thrones is so in my head right now. There'll be no spoilers, don't worry.
And we've got the real Rory. Thanks for doing this. Look after your men. So
the real Rory, actually, I was going to mention him because he messaged me as well, and he works for a charity. I'm just pulling it up now.
Yeah, amazing.
On my Instagram. So did he message you as well? Or was that on
no,
the...
that I think that was that was just a comment on one of our socials. Actually,
oh great,
he's actually one of our long term campaign followers.
Oh,
he's
fantastic!
He's literally followed It's Okay campaign probably within days of us starting it.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
So we've had a lot of contact with Rory, and he is amazing.
Great. Yeah, so Rory works for... I'm presuming we're pronouncing that right. Apologies if we're not, because it's spelled R-U-A-I-R-I.
The Irish way of spelling it, I think.
Yeah, and he's a crisis counsellor for Crisis Text Line, Youth Adult Mental Health Certified. And he messaged me to say, thanks for your honesty about mental health, revealing dark thoughts or places we've gone. It's the only reason I use social media, to use my tiny space on the internet for good. Take care today and every day. And I asked him if he was happy to mention him and the Crisis Text Line, and he said, you're more than welcome. Crisis Text Line is also available in the UK. So those in crisis can text YM to 85258, YM to 85258, and they'll be connected to a trained crisis counsellor 24/7, completely free of charge. He said it's not meant to be a long-term solution, but it's often the first step people take in reaching out.
That's so amazing.
Yeah,
also,
fantastic.
Just to let everyone know, everything that we mentioned today on the podcast, we will put on our socials as well. So it's there for you to see the numbers, everything like that. But that's great. I have heard about this, actually. I think a lot of places are doing it. I heard this on a podcast advert. It was an American one, but that was just a therapy service, a text service.
I think a text service is just so much easier because nowadays people don't like talking about the mental health anyway, and I think text is a little bit easier. And
also, just to fit in with people's lives, yeah. Like people
it's
are really
a quick text, isn't it?
Yeah, people are busy, and it's an instant response, isn't it? Rather than being like, right, I've got to go to the doctors, I've got to wait for something. But like he said, it's not an instant, it's not a long term thing. But
if you're in crisis and you could. That person on the other end of that text message could be the only person you have.
Yeah.
Or that will speak to you.
Or, again, like we spoke about last time, a person that is not involved with your situation at
Completely
all.
Completely disconnected.
Yeah, an absolute neutral person is the best person to talk
exactly.
to. I've got some other comments from people. Hey, I've listened to your mental health podcast. I'm a mum of three amazing kids and I'm 28 and suffer extremely badly with anxiety, so bad that sometimes I can't even face doing the school run and being around anyone. It got so bad that I have to have people pick my own children up just to get them to school, and I feel like I'm failing them. They're my whole world, but feel like they deserve so much better. It's a horrible feeling, but I do actually use podcasts as a way of coping and to help me deal with it, especially at nighttime when it all seems to get on top of me. So I listen to stop them thinking. Yours has been a favourite of mine to get out of my own head, so can't thank you enough. That's great. Like, not just because you're saying that my podcast is great, but just saying that that's someone else going, well, my escape is podcasts and listening to something, distraction, do you know what I mean?
I think especially like podcasts are very conversational, and you feel like if you're sitting in a car or sitting at home on your own and you're listening to a conversation, you feel like you're part of that conversation, even though you're not
inputting. If I ever feel anxious or anything like that, I always have to have some form of like TV on or silence for me is deadly. Like I know that like meditation really helps people, but
my own company, I'm bad in my own company.
Yeah, if I'm feeling I'm fine, but if I'm feeling a certain way, I need a bit of noise or
music,
something to
TV.
Yeah, concentrate on. Another one that we got from Instagram was Jess, just wanted to say how much I love your podcast and especially the latest one. I know it was focused around male mental health, but it really hit home and it was like I was talking. It's exactly how I've been feeling lately. So thank you for making me see I'm not alone and not the only one who feels this way. From Jen at One Body Mind and Fitness on Instagram. And I'd have looked at hers.
Oh, I think she messaged me as well, actually. Yeah.
And she does obviously does some stuff on her page about fitness and body and mind and stuff. But I just think like the reoccurring theme with these messages is that I think people are just thankful for people talking about it. Mm.
I think they kind of, whether it completely see themselves the way me and Luke were speaking about our mental health, they could kind of associate either completely or just a little bit, go, actually I feel like Luke said, when it came to looking up stuff on YouTube about a specific condition or something, until you actually see it happening, because you can't describe it yourself, you go, I'm feeling like that. Mm.
I think even if you're listening to someone speak and it's nothing, you're not feeling any of thing like they are, if you know what I mean, but you know that someone's talking about feeling a bit unusual and out of the ordinary,
then
if it's not like, oh, I don't have like health anxieties or I don't feel, I don't have PTSD, sorry, but I do feel anxious in a different area.
It's like that relief. Oh, it's not just me.
Yeah.
Without sounding really bad, like, oh, good, you suffer as well. But, oh, I'm not the only one that suffers. Because a lot of people with mental health, it's not a selfish thing, but they just think, I'm the only one that must feel like this because I feel really bad.
Yeah.
So I think being able to have someone else go, oh, yeah.
It's because we're taught to think that these thoughts and things that come in our head are like weird, and that some of them are. You know, I've had strange feelings before where you're like,
"Should I even
I'm
feel
fucked
like this?
Off. Like, why am I thinking stuff like that?" Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why it's a bit taboo as well. We've also had people getting in touch with us about events that are happening. If you're in the Yorkshire area, Keep Real, which is like an ethical clothing brand, they've got a festival called Heading Out. And that is on Wednesday, the 15th of May, and that's from 7 till 10. All of this will be going on our socials, links for tickets and stuff like that. Ed, is there an event that you know of as well?
Yeah, there's a therapist for Harley Therapy. They've got an event on the Tuesday, the 14th of May, during Mental Health Awareness Week. It's in the evening. It's called the Choose Therapy Party. It's going to be at Altitude in London, and they're just going to be kind of just, it's a get-together, being able to speak to people, have a drink with someone, get to know a therapist in a kind of a casual setting. And then obviously there's going to be entertainment, live music, food as well.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, there's loads of events going on. Any others that I see leading up to this, you'll have seen on the socials before this gets out, but I will post lots of things that are going on and links to websites and tickets, and they all just sound like great fun as well. So since this episode came out, did you have people contact you about it?
Yeah, a lot more.
That's great. Did you get a few more like followers and things like that?
Well, I think... since the kind of podcast came out, I think we got nearly, I think about 1,000 followers.
Amazing! Just I massive. Love that. Like that's literally, so I
think.
Good.
Yeah, it's. I think just because hearing, I think especially Luke, a well-known like soap star, they can kind of go, oh, well, he's famous and he's not. His life isn't perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe that they've gone. Oh well, we'll go and get help. It is good that especially like people that are known.
Yeah, it's nice to know that people have... it's had some sort of response. Because sometimes you can put it into the ether.
And everyone goes, yeah, great.
And then you go... and you get responses, but...
I think there's lots of... and there's lots of podcasts out there that you can listen to where well-known people speak about their issues. And particularly the two that I listened to recently were two with Joe Gilgan. That I think you know him quite well, don't you,
No,
Jess?
I know him through Carla.
Through Carla, yeah.
I've met him a few times. She knows him a lot more than me, but yeah, I
so
do.
So he's on a podcast called The Two Shot. I think it's called The Two Shot Podcast.
Two Shot Podcast, yeah, I've listened to
Have
it.
Have you listened to it?
Listened to both.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Aren't they a couple of years apart?
Yes. Or they're apart in... yeah, I can't remember how far apart, but... the way he talks, and you can see that he's got such a troubled mind, but he... talks it through and is very, very open about...
he's such an interesting person.
He's a fascinating person and an inspiring person and somebody that, again, it will help. Like, it's cathartic to listen to things like that. And I think also creating your own way of dealing with things, or trying... you have to try things first.
Yeah.
And then if that's still not working and you still feel bad, then you can think about the bigger, more perhaps more scary step.
Yeah, definitely. It's what works for everyone, isn't it? Just you talking about that Happy Place, Fern Cottons, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily people always talking about mental health, but it's talking about what makes them happy and what hasn't made them happy. And also, like, I was just listening to one before. It's really good. She'll say if there's, like, she'll be like, okay, this one, you know, we're going to talk about suicide, so that might trigger you. Or the one that I've just listened to, there was, like, there's an explanation of sexual assault. And if you don't feel like you're ready for this now,
come back
to this episode if you want.
Yeah.
She's had some really interesting people on there that have suffered with mental health. Stephen Fry, Davina McCall, talks a lot about her addiction problem. I think they're really interesting and really fun. So, yeah, definitely. And like you said before, there's lots of books and stuff.
Yeah, somebody got in touch with me actually and asked if I could recommend them some books and podcasts and things. So I sent over like my top five and books to read.
We will put that on our social medias as well, your top five.
Yes, great.
Yeah, I knew you'd love that.
I love that.
I knew you'd love that in your little black book.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Like, it's not, you don't have to listen to podcasts just specifically on mental health either. Like, I listen to one, it's called Arse Blog, and it's all about Arsenal. And pretty much most...
I bet that makes you depressed, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. It does the opposite to, like, health, really.
The United ones make me depressed.
Yeah, exactly. Especially after Arsenal's three harrowing defeats in a row.
Yeah.
But, like, it's good to go to any podcast that... I think, like I said before, you're in a conversation which you're not actually talking in.
It's escapism as well, isn't it?
You feel like you're in a position where you can listen and understand and actually you're being listened to. Mm.
And you might learn. You might learn something from something you don't expect to. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Someone on the Arsenal blog might say something quite profound about football or something. You can then relate it to your own life and be like, oh my god, that's actually really profound. And I'll write that down and remember that. Or you know,
it'll give you a bit of perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like at the moment, I'm waiting on to hear about three things for a job, and it's like all consuming of my life. And then today, I ended up watching some documentaries about people with life debilitating things and doing amazing stuff. And I just sat there and was like, oh, Jesse, like, you're being an idiot. Look at these, God, you know, put yourself in their shoes, like, look at what they're doing, and you know, stop being such a wally and sitting there like.
It's just all relative, isn't it? Yeah, you can only react to the things that are going on in your life. But perspective is good.
You know, just seeing someone out there that's, you know, worse off than you, that's super positive, and you just go, okay, yeah. Right.
Yeah, take a
minute. I'm just going to give my head a little wobble for a second.
I think I watched the marathon, like the London Marathon. There were people in it.
So inspiring watching the marathon, isn't it?
I saw a man with, like, he had one leg amputated, two arms amputated. You think, I wake up in the morning and my leg hurts and I think it's the end of the world and I can't walk and I'm going to have a mood on all day because I'm just aching. And then you think, this guy has got hardly three quarters of his limbs gone.
Yeah.
And he's running 26 and a half miles.
I would say if you want to pick up, like, go and watch something like a marathon or something, like, you wouldn't even think. I've been to see it a few times and I'm like, it's so uplifting just to watch people. Also, just watching other people support other people is fantastic.
I think people dressed up as massive rhinos and telephone boxes as well.
I watched Big Ben.
Makes you feel happy as well.
The one dressed as Big Ben that couldn't get under the finish line. And he has to get helped under the finish line. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I went down hungover a few years ago with Daisy and it was... cried at least four or five times. She kept getting choked up by watching people, just thinking, this is fantastic, what an achievement.
Love that.
I'm totally with you there.
Yeah.
One thing that came up a lot, and a lot of reaction that we've had, was what we were talking about, the social media side of stuff, and also the reality TV things, obviously, because sadly, with everything that happened with Mike from Love Island, that was a couple of weeks afterwards we did this podcast, and it was one of the main reasons to push me to do this podcast as well. And then we had Rachel Rhodes on the Dilemmas podcast, and she was in the first series of Ibiza Weekender, and she's done a few other bits of reality, and we ended up talking a lot about reality TV and what the life was like and the support and stuff. So we've just got a clip that I wanted to play you just to see what kind of discussion that brings from that.
I honestly think, like, as much as it's very, very sad what happened with Mike Thalassiotis, I think it's a bit of a hard one because he hadn't been on Love Island for a very long time. So I don't necessarily think it's Love Island's fault, because I'm pretty sure that if he would have reached out to Love Island and said, I'm struggling, the help would have been there. The aftercare should also be down to people like agents. I think it should be a wider known thing that you can't, that aftercare is there.
Yeah.
But I also think you can't just blame Love Island. I think...
No, definitely. Like, I think my argument with this has been, you know, I was in a soap for 5 years. I was thrust into the public eye and now I'm not.
Yeah.
But I don't get... Like, and I wouldn't expect Line Pictures to ring me up after 6 months and be like, are you all right? What are you up to?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Because that was my job and then it finished. I know that it's probably a little bit different because I knew what I was getting into. But like you say, I think that there should be definitely strong, like, psychological tests for things like that. But there is other avenues where people can get help. Like you say, like, if someone's got a manager or an agent,
yeah,
I guess that's their kind of responsibility then.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to lie, Ibiza Weekender, I still speak to the big boss. I haven't been on it for years.
Oh, really?
I still speak to him, and literally he messages me, like, all the time, just being like, Sat and Rach, what's going on? What, you know, how's things? Like, sort of thing. He does do that. But I know fact, if someone who he hasn't spoken to in a long time messaged him and was like, Jazz, I'm really struggling, I know fact, even human being to human being, if anyone said that to anyone, you help them, don't
yeah,
you? So
definitely.
I think it's just a case of human being to human being who asks for help. I think it's more a push on getting people to ask for the help that they need as opposed to blaming people for things that have happened.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't think, like, Giles, I know fact, he's the big boss of Ibiza Weekender. I know I could ring him right now and be like, Giles, I really need to talk to you. And he would literally speak to me there and then.
That's great. That's great to know as well.
Yeah.
And it's great that people can know that's what happens.
Yeah.
So I actually, listening to that again, obviously she's coming from that kind of background. I mean, it's a different background. Mm. It's not the same. I wasn't shot up to that much fame but she was in that reality world.
I think, obviously, she knows a lot more than we do.
Yeah.
And I think... Obviously, Mike hadn't been in Love Island for a long time, so it isn't down to just Love Island to, like, pretty much mother them. I agree with her, like, agents and management teams.
And a lot, and friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of what she was saying, I wasn't aware of anybody blaming one person or blaming ITV.
I think there's been a lot of people blaming Love Island.
Blaming a single person for
I just think the company, a lot, like there's been a lot of articles of people coming out and saying like it should be stopped, they shouldn't do it this year and it should be stopped, I think. It's a lot of talk. You don't really know where that's coming from, but there has been a lot of stuff online about...
I think it's miseducated, comments.
Stop this, like... Who should like a blame culture thing?
Something's gone wrong, so we must blame someone, and there must be a culprit.
It's so difficult. I can't, because I don't know that show. I watch it and I love it, but I don't know what happens before, and I don't
know
what happens after.
We don't know anyone in the process, do we?
I find it very. I can't say because I don't know what the aftercare is, and I don't know what the psychological stuff is beforehand. I mean.
If anything that we could comment on, exactly what you're saying.
It's really difficult because I don't want to give an opinion because I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, exactly. We don't know the process. But if anything that I can think that I could pull out of this would be people just need to be kinder to people in terms of like commenting on social media. That's one thing we do know about is the trolling and stuff like that. Like we say, we can't comment on these companies. We don't know the psychology test. We don't know the support. It's all hearsay.
Yeah.
But what we do know and what we have experienced ourselves is the trolling side of stuff.
I suppose what would be helpful is if ITV2 or the producers of Love Island came out and said, look, this is what happens before contestants go on the show.
Yeah, show us.
And this is what happens afterwards.
I think they'd get a lot of respect for it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd just be interesting for people to know. And it was great what Rachel was saying, that when she texts her boss and he's there for her. And I think that's great, yeah.
I said that. I was like, that's really interesting to know, because that was years ago as well. Mm. And that you feel like, you know, you can say out loud, I can text that person.
Yeah,
and that's good to know. I know that they would text me back. So that is a positive, actually, because I don't want to be negative as well about...
And there's lots of people at Hollyoaks that are like that, that I know if I reached out to
one of
the senior members of the team, that they'd be there and they would help. But yeah, it's a case of reaching out. But I suppose that's what we're trying to help with here, is to encourage people to reach out and say, please don't suffer alone. Please try and speak to somebody about it.
And there's so many different people you can.
Yeah. So she's right, isn't she? I suppose she's right in a way, like if you start throwing blame around, that's only going to cause more negativity, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I'm going to go through a few questions that people have sent in to us. These are just a few that we've randomly picked, so I'm sorry if yours have not been answered. We will try and point you in the right direction. Even if we're not talking about them, we'll send you a message. But yeah, it was so nice, actually, to have a good response to this. You know, I didn't know whether the inbox would just be like, you know, nothing there. But it's really nice that people have felt like they can send us the message and see if we can point them in the right direction. So this one is anonymous, age 17. I have a lot of anxiety about my friends and what they think. I recently moved to a new school and I constantly worry they don't like me. It's a bigger group than I had in my old school and it makes me anxious. I don't want to feel like this and I hate caring what people think because I'm really not that type of person. How can I avoid feeling like this? So one thing I just want to say off the back of this straight away is, please listen, as you get older, you give less of a fuck what people think about you.
You really do.
And I know that sounds so patronising and being like, when you're older, but I just honestly think that does come with age. Mm. I know what it feels like to be in... I remember thinking, spending so much of my time thinking about what other people thought of me when I was younger at school and then at drama school and not wanting to offend someone and always... thinking, oh, have I said the wrong thing, or do they not like me because of that? And it's such wasted energy.
I was the opposite of that, I would say.
Really?
I've gone from kind of not giving a fuck and kind of being quite argumentative and perhaps a little bit aggressive and having that attitude of, oh, I don't give a fuck, I'll just behave how I want. I'm not saying that you have that attitude now. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Of course. But I think with age, I've got more concerned about what people think of me, but in probably a positive way.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I would say that from what you're saying, that you're probably more, not, it's not so much about you, but you're more aware of other people's feelings, do you think?
Yes, I think you're right.
Of not upsetting other people.
It's a completely different thing to what you were saying, actually.
I think also, like, you know when you're saying when you were younger and you were like, oh, I don't care what people think of me. Do you really think you believe that?
Probably not.
Yeah, because no. I think that that's in itself is a defence mechanism, isn't it? I know a lot of people and people that do that still that go, see, the thing is, I call a spade, I hate that fucking thing. Hate it so much. And I don't give a fuck what people think about me.
But
and
then
I
just secretly
think to,
down,
I think to myself, like, yeah. Come on, everybody. Like I just said, yeah, it does get easier as you get older, but everybody does. Come on.
I think, especially for our teenage years, we do go through the, I don't give two hoots what people say about me. I'm the big I am. I'll do what I want when I want to do it. I think, like Lucas said, like you grow up not worrying badly. You just understand that other people have got feelings as well.
I also would say that don't berate yourself as well for caring about what people think of you, because we've all done it. Do you know what I mean? It's not a weakness.
I personally think it's a good trait to think about how you portray yourself to
other
people.
How you're being perceived.
Yeah, because, yeah, it is all good going, I don't care, because it is good to have a bit of I don't care, because it's me. It's if you don't like me, then whatever. But I think, yeah, it is good to have that feeling of what do they think of me.
Also, give yourself a break as well. Like, you've just moved to a new school, which is anxiety-inducing anyway. Oh. That, you know, anyone, I hate change, always have. Hated moving from primary to junior school, from junior school to secondary school. Mm. Every time I've left something like that, I've cried my eyes out, and it's taken me such a long time to get used to. Even now, even leaving work, that's taken me a long time to settle into not being there. The same when I left drama school, the same when I started here, actually, and moved from London. Mm. Like, I'd, you know, give yourself a bit of credit.
At my daughter's school, there are, like, school pastors, which so it's they're people you can go and talk to. But I think, even if you've got a favourite teacher, we've all had a favourite teacher at school, and I can guarantee we can all name that teacher.
Yeah.
I can name that teacher. And yeah. I was
Adrian Daly, shout out.
Is it?
Maths teacher, very inspiring guy.
Jean-Pierre Lewis, metalwork teacher.
What a name.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you were going to say French
gorgeous.
Teacher.
But do you know what?
Jean-Pierre. Taught me metalwork.
He was an amazing teacher. Always taught us to be safe and like health and safety and everything, but chopped off his finger with a bandsaw.
Oh my God.
So we always used to laugh at that point. But
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so we all have that favourite teacher, but we knew that we could go and speak to him. And I think it doesn't have to be the school liaison officer, the school welfare officer. If you've got a favourite teacher that you know you can have a laugh and a joke with, or your form tutor, or whoever.
Because they've been 17 once as well. I think sometimes when you're 17,
the world's going to end.
But also it's really hard to imagine anyone else ever being 17. You know, you look at your parents, you're like, you don't understand
me. You haven't got a clue. What do you know?
But everyone's been 17.
Yeah. And I think as long as you, if you go and speak to someone, especially someone who's in authority, because you speak to your friends, they will understand. But they're not going to keep an eye on you like someone in authority will. If you tell your favourite teacher, they'll be like, oh, they told me this.
Well, they might even give you other avenues. You know, like this is person saying, I'm feeling a bit anxious in this group. And they might go, listen, you might like a certain thing. You might really like books or computers or art. They might go, oh, well, you know what? On this period, in lunchtime, this room's free if you want to come and just do some of your artwork.
Well,
or
they might even say, like,
should we
have a chat with your parents or something? As long as, but they can keep an eye.
Yeah.
And teachers,
because they have to. It's a duty of care. As soon as you tell them something like that, they have a duty of care to, they will keep like an eye on you, even if you think they're not.
Yeah.
They will look. Teachers have got eyes in the back of their head. So
to be fair, they probably even spotted that, you know, that you've just moved from a school and they're not very, you're a bit quiet in lessons.
I think a lot of teachers obviously they know you go to a new school, you're told, because I know a lot of teachers, that they're told if a new child's coming into the school, they'll be like, they've got the name of the person, they'll know that child. A lot of the teachers will be keeping an eye out and stuff like that. And I think, like you said, they'll probably have already seen it before you even go and speak to them.
Okay, so to round this up, first of all, give yourself a break. Change is hard. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you don't have to make friends with everyone. Just make friends with one if you want. And also, if you don't feel like you can talk to your social group or anything like that, at least tell one person. You can tell one person in that school, whether it be your favourite teacher, a pastoral person, anyone. Just tell somebody so they can keep an eye on you. I hope that helps. Mm. Hi, Hi, guys. I'm interested to know, having listened to the first part of the mental health special, whether you think mental health is in the genes or environment. Are some people just born more prone to suffer from mental health problems? Thanks, Tom from Birmingham. Now, before we answer this, obviously we're not medical, we don't know this, and this is just opinion, but I would say you would be really good to answer something like this, because you're... one of your conditions was brought on by an environment that you worked in. Would that be fair to say?
I think it's that whole like nature or nurture kind of thing. Like I do believe that all human beings, all beings really, but us as humans, we all are susceptible to mental health issues. We all at one point will suffer either an anxiety or even just a low point. So I think we are genetically susceptible to it.
Yeah, I think it'd be weird to go, you've had the best education, the best upbringing. You know, I hear people sometimes go, well, they've got a really stable family life and they've got it doesn't really matter. Sometimes it can be a chemical imbalance. Sometimes it can be...
I've had a close friend who, she committed suicide, and the first things people said is, well, she was such a beautiful girl. And it's like...
So
what? It's like kind of, it doesn't matter your environment, your upbringing. I think, yes, environments do trigger it. Like with my PTSD, it's a military PTSD. So
that is, I can't say specific.
Yeah.
So that you've been diagnosed that what happened to you while working in the army, that's triggered that for
you. Like being posted abroad, like you do see things and you experience things that other people might not. And like I said, we are all susceptible to it, but I think we are susceptible in different ways, and I think different people have different triggers.
But that's not saying that you never went to the army and you were living your life, you could have suffered a problem with your mental health in a different
exactly. You could be like, you, the amount of times you hear in the media and stuff like that, like someone has either gone into a state of depression or even like ended their life, but they had a great job, they had an amazing relationship, and they had everything in the world. Why would they possibly want to do it? But it doesn't matter, because you are susceptible, something can trigger it, or you can just feel low. Because some people, I think we've all experienced it at some point or another. You've woken up in the morning and go, I don't want to get up. I feel something's wrong and I just want to sleep. So I think, there is a part. It is environment. But I think, we are all susceptible to it.
Completely. I don't want to say it like this, but like, no one is safe. It could happen to anyone at any time, at any age.
We look at someone like Stephen Fry, who just gets depression.
Yeah.
He's such an intelligent man. And if that depression came from something, he would have, I'm sure he would have gone, well, it's come from this.
Yeah, his rational self.
He would try to work out and figure out where it came from, what happened, why did it trigger?
Yeah.
He just didn't go on stage and didn't come
back. Yeah, he suffers from depression, and that is uncontrollable.
Mm, yeah.
Whereas other mental health problems, like if you've turned to alcohol or drugs or something like that, that's more than likely come from things that have happened in your life that have made you turn to that. So I think
that's a situational,
I think it's a bit of both, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. It can happen at any time to anyone from any background, anyone. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Or you could go through the whole of your life and it never affect you, like, as well.
Yeah.
I know it sounds very cliche, but like mental health is one of those you can't say condition, because there's so many different things within mental health, but it doesn't discriminate. I think that's the main thing. It doesn't discriminate between, you could be any race, creed, religion, anything. It's not going to discriminate. If it
wants you, it'll have you.
If it wants you, it'll have you.
Yeah. Okay. Creative type, 26, London. Hi, guys. I have never officially been diagnosed with any problem, but I definitely went through a tough patch a few years ago with drugs. No major event happened in my life to trigger it. It just spiraled out of control a bit quickly. I feel much better now and haven't touched them in a long time. But my question is, do you think you can ever be rid of addiction, or is it something you always have to live with and control?
I think it's something that you always have to live with and control. I'm only speaking from things I've read and people that I've listened to, the main one being Russell Brand. Like, Russell Brand is so so open and is just an absolute vat of information about addiction, and his books, Mentors is the latest one that I haven't read, and Recovery was the one before that. So I think if you're a recovering addict or you are an addict, that is essential reading. And I think from what he says, that if once you are sober and in recovery, you do have to deal with that every single day.
Personally, as obviously you have heard from part one of the podcast, obviously I suffered with drug addiction.
Yeah.
And I was in exactly the same boat. Like, nothing properly triggered it. I was just in a situation where I was with the wrong... I was hanging around with the wrong people. It was pretty much wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But did you drugs before the army or after the army?
After.
So is it possible that there was a trigger?
There was a bit of a crutch, a bit of an escape.
Maybe PTSD,
It might have been a subconscious one. I don't know. But it was exactly the same. Like, it spiraled.
It spiraled
out of control. And I don't know what it was. Well, it was embarrassment. How do I tell? My parents have a hardworking, great background. Nothing to do with drugs in the whole family ever. I was the first addict in the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the what first addict?
Yes. I didn't go to uni, but I'm an addict.
I bet that was hard.
Yeah. And I think because of it, my family were... They didn't know how to deal with it because they've only seen it on the TV, like the Jeremy Carl, the addict, will throw him in rehab.
Yeah.
But when it's your own child and when it's your own family, it's a bit different.
Would you say then that there is certain situations in your life now that you wouldn't put yourself in because you know that you would use drugs again?
I'd like to think I wouldn't, but like you say, you could be in a position where that would...
But that's what I mean.
I will remove myself.
You wouldn't necessarily... The people that you used to hang around with, that might be a trigger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, literally, that's one of the reasons why I literally up sticks and left with my family.
When you moved.
I've removed myself from anyone knowing where I am, what I do, because that was half the reason. If I surrounded myself with the wrong people, things are going to happen. And I know if those things happen, I lose everything. Like, literally, my family, my loved ones, my children, I lose them.
Do you feel like, just to go back to the question, do you feel like it's a...
everyday battle.
It's a daily battle.
Yeah, like, I...
Something you have to live with and control, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You think it's that more than...
You do. Yeah. You really do, because I don't feel... I don't get the urges. Like, I don't wake up in the morning and go, right, I've got to phone my dealer now.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere near that now, because I wake up usually at 5:30 when my little 1-year-old wakes me up, go, Dada. But
that's a nice wake up.
I tell you what, my auntie, she said that is the most amazing comment I've said in a very long time, that that's the best high I've ever had, is when my little girl, my 1-year-old, gives me a cuddle in bed in the morning.
That's lovely.
I tell you what, all the cocaine in the world couldn't give me a bigger high than that.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise that until I became sober.
Yeah.
And so that's something that you still think about. You still it's still there. Still, you think about it because
it's. I think it's a worry more than anything. I think about it because it's that anxiety of, well, if I put myself in this position, say I'm going out for a drink, then your inhibitions are lowered, and then you're more likely to agree to do something else. So if I don't put myself in a position where I'm around people that do drugs, I'm not going to have to deal with it because I'm around my partner who is so anti-drugs. I'm around my children. I'm around family. No one I know do drugs now.
Yeah, and so, it sounds like this person is out the other side.
Yeah, they've not touched drugs for a long time. Yeah. But
I personally think any sort of connection, slight link to drugs or drink or whatever your addiction is, get rid of it.
Oh yeah, like take yourself. If you find yourself at a party or around something like that, just take yourself away from it.
Yeah,
it's not like you say. It's not worth staying to see it. If it does, do you know, just it's very not easy, but it's easy to remove yourself from a situation quickly, you know.
Prevention's so much better than cure.
Yeah.
Because you can't go, what if, because it's that's a dodgy ground, because as soon as you think...
It's a dilemma.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. So basically we're saying yes, it is, yeah, something it that is. You live with every day. But the point is that you hope to get to a point where it doesn't consume your life or your thoughts every single minute of the day. And if it is doing that, then go seek help.
Yeah. Taking every day as it comes, say, as well.
Yeah, it's those little victories again, like waking up in the morning and go, right, I'm going to be happy today.
Yeah.
I saw a video like a high-up naval admiral said that the first... If you don't do anything else in your day, make your bed in the morning.
Oh, yeah, we spoke about that last time. Yeah,
we said that last time. Like, but it is true. It's like those little victories. If you just do that little thing, that makes you go, yeah.
Yeah.
If I've succeeded in that, I can succeed in something else and something else.
Make your bed and don't do the drugs.
Yeah. just have on your bedspread, don't do drugs. Don't you make it? You can see it.
So... thank you so much for talking about these things. Yeah. And also, again, I hope that if you have sent in your anxieties or your dilemmas, that we've been able to talk them through and point you in the right direction. Also, for the people that sent them and we've not talked about them, we will be putting lots of stuff on our social media about different events, different numbers, different Instagram pages. But one thing I will say is, on my podcasts, I know that this is a different podcast and we've spoke about some serious issues, but that doesn't mean that you have to get away with this. So Ed, you've been here and you got away with it the first time, but as initiation of being a podcast on my podcast, you have to play Double Dares.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Ed can play.
No, Luke, no.
I'm vegetarian, so I can't have him.
That's not fair.
That is such a great excuse. Yeah. I did play it last time.
Does that mean I'm dietary fluid now? So I'm now seeing myself as vegan. So I can't.
I didn't realise Piers Morgan had entered the room.
Well, I'm an Arsenal fan, but I'm a nice Arsenal fan.
So you have listened to this podcast. Yeah. You've got to go in and then I will do it with you.
Okay, go.
They could taste nice, they could taste horrible, but that's all part of the game.
Yay.
Okay, so close your eyes.
Oh, that looks like a horrible...
That looks grim.
That is either...
That could be blood, couldn't it?
Strawberry or fresh blood, but as Daisy, your lovely girlfriend, said, fresh arse.
Fresh arse.
So I'll...
Can't beat a bit of fresh arse.
I'll do it with you. Three. Okay, after three. One, two, three, go. Oh, yes.
No.
He's got the bad one.
Is it bad?
That is fresh arse.
His face was fantastic.
It's vile, isn't it?
Oh, my God. You're real. I will finish it.
But after playing that game... Thank you for doing that. But thank you so much again talking about your experiences. Thank you, Luke, as well, for talking about them and discussing other people's. And even if we just make one more person be able to speak and get in touch with someone, then our job is done.
Yep. DMs are open on Insta.
Yes.
Yep.
You've been listening to Dilemmas with Jess Ellis, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have, you'll make Bob the dog very happy if you could click subscribe, give Dilemmas a rating, and also leave a review on Apple Podcasts too. And of course, if you've got a dilemma, then get in touch via the Dilemmas socials at Dilemmas Jess on Instagram and Twitter. Finally, don't forget, nobody's got their shit together, and you're doing just fine. Thanks for listening.